This is KOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Some 800 American Marines have arrived in Thailand in an apparent reaction to Cambodia's seizure of the American merchant ship Mayaguez Monday. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Thai Foreign Minister reports the U.S. Marine Force flew into Utapao Air Base minutes after the Prime Minister reiterated that his government does not want American forces in Thailand if they are going to confront the Cambodian government. The Marines are part of an 1,100 contingent being brought in from Okinawa and the Philippines. President Ford called a session of the National Security Council Tuesday night to discuss the issue, but there was no official comment afterwards. Earlier, Secretary of State Kissinger told a news conference in St. Louis what the U.S. is doing to secure release of the merchant ship.
What I do know is that the highest officials of the government, when they learned of this, we're dealing with it as a merchant ship, finding out information from the company to which it belonged, and therefore we are dealing with it as the seizure of an American merchant ship on peaceful trade in international waters, and I think no other interpretation has yet come to my attention or is valid.
There is still some question about the whereabouts of the ship's 40-man crew. Phil Jones reports from the White House.
White House News Secretary Ron Nesson says the government knows that Cambodians are aboard the vessel, which is now anchored about 30 miles off the Cambodian coast. However, Nesson turned back all questions concerning Americans. This uncertainty about the location of the American crew members is apparently one reason for the delay in any military response. Nesson indicated that Mr. Ford fully intends to abide by the 1973 War Powers Act, which says the president shall, in every possible instance, consult with Congress before introducing American forces into hostilities. Nesson also disclosed that an international warning has been issued to ships operating in the area where the Mayaguez was seized. Earlier this month, a South Korean vessel was fired at, and a Panamanian ship was intercepted by the Cambodians, but later released. Phil Jones, CBS News at the White House.
A report from Peking says American messages regarding the seized vessel to both the Chinese government and Cambodian envoys in Peking have not been successful. This, according to sources close to the U.S. liaison office in Peking. More news coming up.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Foolish Pleasure is going to have a lot riding on him this Saturday, and I don't mean jockey Jacinto Vasquez. I'm Win Elliott for CBS Radio Sports, and I'll be at Pimlico to bring you all the color of the Preakness along with Ray Haight, who'll call the race. Not only that, the Belmont Stakes in June, but this weekend, the question, can Foolish Pleasure take the second jewel in the Triple Crown? We'll all find out this Saturday, CBS, in bringing you exclusive radio coverage of the Preakness over most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
The U.S. Coast Guard in Puerto Rico says a Greek oil tanker is still burning 50 miles north of San Juan and could sink and cause the oil tanks to break, producing a major oil spill. The ship is carrying nearly 400,000 barrels of oil. Coast Guard ships are monitoring the fire. Some flooding is expected to occur early Wednesday morning in Fairbanks, Alaska, where the Chena River tops the 12-foot flood stage. 34 stranded motorists were airlifted to Elmendorf Air Force Base yesterday from an area near the river. Bad weather hit several sections of the U.S. on Tuesday. In the central Texas town of Coleman, a tornado killed two people and did considerable damage. Another tornado ripped through Oklahoma City, injuring one person and doing minor damage. In Florida, winds up to 100 miles an hour overturned several airplanes at the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood Airport, reportedly causing millions of dollars of damage. Now this message.
Mr. Noel Roper takes care of his headaches fast.
I'm a stockbroker, so you can imagine the pressures and the headaches that I get. But I don't have them for long because I take Anacin. It's great. It's really different.
You're right, Mr. Roper. While all three leading pain relievers reach an effective level in your bloodstream in minutes, in the final analysis, only Anacin hits and holds the highest level.
Anacin does not upset my stomach.
Next headache, take Anacin for a higher level of pain reliever. Take only as directed.
If you're in business, you don't need us to tell you ad costs are rising. It's called adflation. But maybe you do need us to remind you there's one medium not soaring in price. One medium that relies more on creativity than dollars for production. One medium that moves quickly. You're listening to it now, and so are your customers. Virtually everyone listens to radio every week, averaging over 3 hours a day. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight adflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
House and Senate conferees have agreed on a $1.5 billion housing bill designed to produce 400,000 new homes along with twice that many new construction jobs. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
A State Department planning official says the United States cannot relax its efforts to solve the energy problem. Samuel Lewis, deputy director of the State Department's planning staff, told an audience at Lewis and Clark College that this country's policy in dealing with the energy problem has two objectives: obtaining a substantial decrease in the price of oil over the long run and a substantial increase in U.S. self-sufficiency for energy sources. Lewis added that the United States plans to develop alternative energy sources, but he said such sources have some drawbacks, including reduced economic growth. Trial of a 22-year-old Stephen Schultz of Portland on a charge of slaying a Portland woman last month is scheduled to start June 10th in Skamania County Superior Court. Schultz is accused in the slaying of 54-year-old Patricia Lee Hayes, whose body was found April 2nd lodged against an oak tree near Crooks Road in eastern Skamania County. Authorities said the body had numerous bruises and stab wounds. About 600 Chicanos and their supporters marched through Seattle's University District today, protesting the firing of two Mexican Americans by the University of Washington as a result of a confrontation at the campus last month. The group marched from the Culture Center through the district to Red Square on the campus. En route, the marchers paused at Paddleford Hall, which contains the offices of Dr. George Beckman, Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences. Demonstrators shouting, "Beckman is a racist. He shall be removed." Two officials of a Chicano studies program were fired for allegedly making threats against Beckman in a dispute involving the hiring of an assistant dean. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area: fair tonight and Wednesday, becoming cloudy Wednesday night and Thursday with chance of showers Thursday. Lows tonight near 50 and 45 to 50 degrees Wednesday night. Continued warm Wednesday with the highs in the low 80s. Much cooler Thursday with the highs in the mid-60s. Light winds tonight. Chance of measurable precipitation near zero tonight and Wednesday, 10% Wednesday night. Right now in downtown Portland, the temperature stands at 68 degrees. That's KOIN News to 1108. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents Come In. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. God works in mysterious ways, we are told, his wonders to perform. And certainly the strange story I bring you now testifies to that. It is a story of horror indescribable, and yet of love unbounded, of nameless terror, and yet of sweet and gentle fulfillment. It is the story of what befell Kenneth Robinson, Professor Kenneth Robinson, I should say, when he delved too deeply and, yes, too arrogantly, into cosmic mysteries which are perhaps best left alone.
But you don't understand, Mildred. You don't understand.
Oh, Ken, darling, what is there to understand? This isn't the first time you've made your spirit, your astral body, leave you and go wandering.
Mildred.
But, darling, even when I saw you lying there on the couch seemingly dead, I wasn't afraid. Not the way I was the first time. I knew you'd done it again. made your astral body...
But I didn't. I didn't. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Mildred, heaven help me. This time my astral body left of its own accord. I've lost control over my own spirit, Mildred. Completely lost control.
Our mystery drama, Where Angels Fear to Tread, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lowther and stars Michael Tolan. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say Betty, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say Betty, you've gone as far as you can go to get the very best. To do it all. When you say but, you say you care enough to only want the king of fears. There is no other one, there's only something left, because the king of fears is leading all the rest. When you say but, Wiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
You meet the nicest people when you lunch or dine at the Captain's Corner. The Captain's Corner in the Century Tower building is where people count on a quality menu and friendly service. Individual attention to patrons is one reason the Captain's Corner is a favorite all over Portland, and that goes for the lounge. For excellent lunching or dining, stop at Downtown Zone, Captain's Corner, inside the Century Tower building on Southwest 12th between Jefferson and Main, with free parking.
Hello, I'm Lorne Green with a message for you about wildlife. Our wildlife can't survive unless we protect the habitat, the woods and wetlands that provide them with food, water, and cover, an environment in which to raise their young. Now, in many areas, wildlife habitat is threatened with destruction. Join our campaign to protect wildlife habitat. Write the National Wildlife Federation, Department R, Washington, D.C., 20036.
Life we live in between. At this very moment, scientists all over our globe are seeking the answers to these mysteries, or the one great mystery it may be. Some there are who say, don't do it. If God in his infinite wisdom had meant us to know the answers, he'd have revealed them. Others are of a different mind. They say the mysteries were put there to be unraveled, the answers found. One who believed this is Kenneth Robinson, professor of parapsychology at Mallory College in New England. One night, not long ago, about 1 o'clock in the morning, in the living room of the Robinson house...
Ken, dear. Wouldn't you know, fallen asleep on the couch again. Oh, Ken. Honey, come on, wake up and come to bed. You can't sleep here on the couch all night. Ken? Oh, no. No, he's not. He can't be. Not dead.
No, Mildred. No, I'm not dead.
No pulse, no heartbeat.
Millie, can't you hear me? I'm not dead. I can see myself on the couch.
Ken, darling.
See you kneeling beside me, crying. But, sweetheart, I'm not dead.
I must call Dr. Dutton. Yes, call Junius.
Oh. Millie, no, don't call Dutton. I'll be all right again in a second or so. Just as soon as my spirit returns to my body.
Ah.
What?
Oh. Where?
Oh, you're alive. Oh, darling, you're alive.
Millie, what's the matter with you? Of course I'm alive. I knocked myself out studying, stretched out on the couch, and fell asleep. That's all. I think that's all.
Oh, no, darling, it isn't all. By no means all. Ken, I think you've done it.
Done it?
I thought you were just asleep. But your body felt cold. I couldn't get a pulse.
Wait, it's coming back now.
Oh, what, darling? Oh, what?
Okay, give me a minute.
Hmm?
Yes. Yes, I could see you kneeling beside me on the couch. Hear you crying, and I talked to you. I said, don't call Dutton. I'm not dead.
Oh, Ken. Wait, it's the breakthrough you've been after for years.
Maybe. Yes, maybe. But let me try to remember more of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
When I stretched out to rest, I started doing the Kapalabhati.
Oh, the recharging breath.
Yes, to restore my energy. I wanted to study at least for another hour or two. But then, yes, that's when it happened. I can't describe it. There seemed to be a gathering together of some vital force inside me, gathering itself together as if to make a supreme effort of some sort. Millie, it was my Atman, my spirit preparing to leave my body.
Oh, Ken!
And it did. It gathered itself together in my head, and then it was like a bubble outside my head, but attached to it, like a bubble on a bubble pipe, you know?
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
And then suddenly, the bubble broke loose, and Millie. Millie, there I was, standing beside my own body and looking down as it lay stretched out on the couch.
Oh, Ken, this... it's incredible.
No, not really.
Now, you've more than proved Dr. Dutton's faith in you when he gave you the chair in parapsychology. Well, what is it? Why the sudden frown?
I can't remember where I went or what I did.
Oh, what do you mean, dear?
My astral body, I have no recollection of where it went. What it did while it was free.
Well, did it go somewhere?
I'm not sure. I have the feeling it did, but no recollection. I almost know. I went somewhere, did something, but it's all a blank.
Ken, you look worried.
No, not worried. Curious, that's all. Curious.
I'll answer, Ken. Yes?
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes.
My name's Peters, Ed Peters. The folks around now, they call me Bub.
Oh, yes, I've heard of you. You own the cider mill, I think.
Yes, ma'am. Your husband home?
Yes.
I wonder, I could see him for a minute?
Well, I suppose. Yes, well, come in.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, this way. Oh, Ken, dear, this is Mr. Peters. Bub Peters, he owns the cider mill?
Oh, yes, we've met before. I hope you're still keeping our students out of your place, Mr. Peters.
Oh, yes. You only had to tell me once that you wanted off-limits, and off-limits it became. For the students, anyway.
What can I do for you, Mr. Peters?
I'll see you along for a minute.
Oh, well...
No, Millie. I'm sure anything you have to say can be said in front of my wife, Mr. Peters.
Well, it's okay with you.
Why shouldn't it be?
It's about last night.
What about last night?
Now, look now, Professor, I don't want to make it in trouble. You weren't all that drunk, you're pulling a blank about what happened in my place.
Your place? The cider mill?
Yes, ma'am?
Well, are you saying that I was in the cider mill last night?
Are you saying you weren't?
Well, of course I wasn't. I was right here at home. My wife will tell you that.
Well, I got witnesses, Professor. Now, look, I don't want any trouble. All I want is for you to pay for the damage you've done, that's all.
Damage?
You wrecked the joint, Professor. You know that. busted chairs, smashed the mirror over the bar, and... Well, here's a list. If you just pay it, we'll say no more about it.
What? 600? I was in the cider mill last night drunk, me? And I wrecked...
Unless you got a twin brother.
No, I don't even have a brother.
Well, like I said, now, no trouble. It wouldn't be good for me, and it sure wouldn't be good for you. So, send me a check, huh? I can see my way out.
No, wait, before you go.
Yeah.
Tell me exactly what happened, exactly what I did, or what you say I did.
Oh, you did, all right. I got witnesses. You come in smashed.
What time?
Oh, around 1 a.m.
Go on.
Well, like I said, you come in juiced real high and you start hitting the booze like it's going out of style, one drink after another. Then you started getting a little too free and easy with the girls at your table.
The girls at his table?
Hostesses. Three of them. One wasn't enough, he said. He starts to get a little, you might say, too handy with them, and I told him to cool it. In a nice way, I told him, believe me, but, well, that's when he throws a punch, and well, that began it. You know, Professor, even though I saw it myself and I got witnesses, looking at you now, even I find it hard to believe. Well, I'll be expecting your check.
Well, I guess now we know where your astral body went.
Worse, we know what it did. Yes, Junius, there's the list Peters handed me, the list of damages.
Mm-hmm. And you say he has witnesses?
Yes.
Well, you'd better pay this bill and avoid any further publicity for yourself and Mallory College. And you'd better stop your experiments in astral projection.
You don't really mean that, Junior.
I do. You know, I've been against them from the start.
Well, if that's so, why did you found a chair in parapsychology and appoint me to fill it?
Oh, come on, Ken. You know I had to establish the chair. It was one of the provisions of Septimus Mallory's will.
Okay, but I've been
Mallory doing my... believed in life after death. And that's why he wanted the chair in parapsychology, to pursue the study of the paranormal.
Which is what I've been doing.
Yes, but far beyond what was expected. You were simply to pursue investigations into ESP, psychokinesis, this sort of thing. Not anything so dangerous as astral projection.
Dangerous?
In the sense that you're trespassing on God's domain, rushing in where angels fear to tread.
Oh, come on now, Junius.
Drop these experiments, Ken.
I can't. Not now. Not when I'm beginning to meet with success.
Success? To judge from what happened last night, wouldn't a more precise word be disaster?
I must go on, Junius. I can't stop now.
In that case, Ken, God... No. I was about to say God be with you. But I don't think he can be. Let me say, in that case, God protect you. I have a feeling you're going to need it.
Oh, Junius, thank you for coming straight over.
Where is it?
On the couch in the living room.
No pulse, you say?
Just like the other night, so I... Well, he's not dead, that I know.
All right, all right. No. The faintest heartbeat... Almost impossible to detect, but it's there.
Oh.
Tell me, Mildred, was this an experiment tonight? Was it a controlled experiment, not an accident like the first time?
Oh, controlled. You see, he lay down on the couch and began doing some breathing exercises. And then his breathing seemed to slow down and finally stop altogether.
Uh-huh.
I asked him if he was all right, but I got no answer. Then I was about to ask him again when... And he sighed. It was a sort of long sigh of relief. And somehow I knew that was the moment his astral body had left him.
And you called me.
Well, it scares me, Junius. I needed someone with me, someone like you. I keep wondering, where is he? Or it?
Wait a minute. He's coming around. Oh, Ken. Ken? Junius.
Oh, Ken, darling.
Oh, sweetheart, I saw you again. You and Junius. I saw you here with my earthly body stretched on the couch. I heard you talking, everything you said. And this time it seems to me I can remember, almost remember, where I went and what I did. My recall is better, much better than the first time, and I... Yes, Ken? You what?
Ken?
I can't be sure, but Millie, Junius...
What, Ken? What?
I think I killed someone. Murdered someone.
Well, I'll tell you this. Were it not for my own experiments in the paranormal, I'd find Ken Robinson's experience hard to swallow. But I personally have seen things, experienced things, which simply have no normal explanation. And frankly, at this time of my life, I'd as soon have no more to do with them. I'd rather expect Ken Robinson feels the same way. I'll return in a moment for Act Two.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, I've been telling you that Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is a wonderful way to make an ordinary meal a great meal, and to keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. That's because it's a delicious combination of Uncle Ben's rice, natural wild rice, herbs, and seasonings. It has a really distinctive taste just about every grown-up loves. But what about those everyday family meals? Well, now Uncle Ben's has a way to make them special, too. With Uncle Ben's new fast-cooking long grain and wild rice, it's flavored with a delicious but milder blend of herbs and seasonings. So it has a milder taste. It cooks in just 5 minutes. So it's easy to serve anytime. With anything, chicken, hamburgers, whatever's on the family menu. So try Uncle Ben's new 5-minute fast-cooking long grain and wild rice. The whole family will love its milder taste.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C. As far as Dr. Junius Dutton of Mallory College is concerned, man had best not rush in where angels fear to tread, which is, of course, what Ken Robinson, professor of parapsychology, has done. By means of extraordinary disciplines, he has at last succeeded in freeing his astral body from its earthly prison. Succeeded to his horror.
I think I killed someone. Murdered someone.
Ken!
Easy, Mildred, easy. Go on, Ken. I can't.
What do you mean you can't? You've just said you think you murdered someone.
But I can't be sure. It's something I sense rather than know. A feeling.
That and no more. Well, there's got to be more. We've got to know more.
I don't follow.
If you have killed someone, your astral body or your Atman or whatever you call it, if you did, then we'd better be prepared for whatever lies ahead.
Junius, what do you mean?
I mean, my dear, if a murder has been done...
Oh, no!
Ken, try to remember. Try. Ken?
No, it's no use. I can't.
And maybe I'm wrong. After all, it's just a feeling I have, a hazy feeling. A feeling that could be 100% wrong.
Or 100% right. Ken, I'm going to speak frankly. You know I'm your friend and Mildred's. You know, both of you, that there isn't anything I wouldn't do for you.
We know, Junius.
But there are some things that go beyond friendship, because they must. I carry the responsibility for the college and the people who made it. Ken, if you persist in continuing this dangerous, this disastrous experiment of yours, I shall have no recourse but to ask for your resignation.
I'm sorry if asking you to come into headquarters has caused you any inconvenience, Professor. No, excuse me. Chief Langner? No. And hold all calls.
No, no, no inconvenience, Chief, not in the slightest.
Professor, everybody likes you. But everybody is kind of puzzled by you. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I mean, we can talk man to man, huh?
Whatever that is, yes.
What I mean is that little wife of yours, now, don't get me wrong. She's got what every man looks at. Know what I mean? What every man wants.
What is it you're getting at? Why did you ask me to come here?
Okay. I'll lay it out. How long since you slept with your wife?
What business is that of yours?
I'll tell you. Funny things happen in this town. Things you wouldn't believe. But they happen. Like some men, well, I could mention names, big names in town. They got wives, some of them very attractive. But they, go to Rosie Smith.
The town?
Yeah.
Well, so?
You ever go to Rosie Smith?
Of course not.
Ever?
Never.
Well, she isn't as bad as all that, Professor.
Look, will you please get to the point? Why am I here?
Rosie says you tried to kill her.
What? I tried to...
Where were you 11 p.m. Wednesday night?
Where was I?
Yeah, where?
Why, at home.
At home?
Yes, at home.
Rosie says you're at her place. Says she picked you up and took you there. And that you tried to strangle her. In fact, the way we put it all together, you thought you had strangled her and left her for dead. But she pulled out of it at the hospital.
I don't know what in the world you're talking about.
You were at home Wednesday night at 11, you say?
I was at home.
Alone?
No, my wife was there.
Oh.
And so was Dean Dutton.
Oh? Your wife and Dean Dutton?
Yes.
11 p.m.
11 p.m.
Well, you couldn't have been with Rosie at her place, could you?
No, I couldn't.
You tried to kill her?
Strangle her, Chief Langner said. The way they figure it, I... No, not me. Whatever it is, I've unleashed...
Oh, Ken.
Anyhow, they say I... The would-be murderer left her for dead, but she recovered in the hospital.
Yes, but why would you, of all people, have anything to do with a girl like that?
Well, if it comes to that, why did I, my astral body, my other self, go to the cider mill in the first place? And above all, why did I try to kill Rosie? Millie, what am I to do?
Well, I'd say there's only one answer to that, Kent. Stop.
After all the years of preparation... The physical and mental hardships, disciplines. After all I've put you through.
Oh, darling, you haven't put me
yes,
through.
Yes, I have. It hasn't been easy for you living with a man like me.
Well, I didn't think it would be when I married you. Things had been easy. Would we be as close to each other as we are? As deeply in love?
Oh, Millie, I don't know what I'd do without you. Without your love, your understanding, your patience.
I'll go. Genius.
Is Ken at home, Mildred?
Yes, come in.
Hello, Junius. I guess I've got a pretty good idea of why you're here.
I just had a visit from Chief Langer. Ken, you've left me no choice. I must ask for your resignation from Mallory College.
Now, wait a minute, Junius.
My dear good friend, I've waited far more than a minute. Wednesday night, I was forced to give you an ultimatum. That you either give up your experiments in astral projection or resign. I asked for a decision within 24 hours. You didn't give me one.
I couldn't make up my mind.
Ken, I can no longer aid and abet in your risking your reputation, perhaps even your life.
I know, Junius, I know. You were right from the start. I was courting danger, possible disaster. And I knew it even when I began.
Well, then why did you? No, you needn't answer that. Like all good scientists, you couldn't help yourself. You had to pioneer new routes into paranormal, explore new horizons, whatever the risk to yourself.
But others are involved now.
I'm afraid so.
And I have no right to make them run risks. Rosie Smith, for one. So whether you still want my resignation or not, Junius, I'm giving up the experiment.
You'll stop it?
Cold.
I can't tell you what a relief this is to me. I've been so worried about you, so almighty worried. You've got no idea.
I think I have, Junius, and I'm grateful. But it's over now. Experiment ended. Caput. Fini. Let's have a drink on it.
Well, I've said it before. I'm probably bored you saying it, but I firmly believe that there are some secrets of life God prefers to keep to himself. As I see it, if he'd wanted you to know about them, he wouldn't have made them secret.
That makes sense. Sense I didn't appreciate till I...
Ken?
I was about to say till I tried to murder someone. What a frightful thing if I had.
Yes, it would have been. But thank heaven it isn't.
You suppose I can be of any help to the poor girl?
Oh, in what way?
Well, she's in the hospital because of me. Junius, would there be any way in which I might pay her expenses without her knowing, I mean? Here's your drink, Billy.
Well, if it got out that you'd paid her bills, questions would be asked. Eyebrows raised.
I know, I know. Still, I feel so absolutely awful about it all. Here you are, Junius.
Thanks. Well, let me look into it discreetly. We do have a fund for assisting people, students mainly, but I might manage something out of that.
Good. Let's drink to that, too.
Hmm.
I give you the end of an experiment. Dangerous and, yes, foolish experiment. And thank God, continuing life for Rosie Smith.
Junius, catch him.
I've got him. Ken, you better get him out of the couch.
What's happened to him?
I don't know.
He started to raise the glass to his lips and then dropped it, began to sway.
State of collapse. Let me see.
Junius.
His heartbeat is so faint I can scarcely get it. There's no pulse worth mentioning. Skin is cold, clammy. Eyes turned back in their sockets.
Junius, does this mean...
It means, unless I miss my guess, it means Ken is no longer in control of his astral self. It means that regardless of Ken's plans for the future, his astral body, his other self, has different plans. Decidedly different plans.
And so it would seem that, like Dr. Henry Jekyll, who, having released the vicious and murderous Edward Hyde, soon found Hyde in control, Professor Ken Robinson has unleashed a powerful and deadly force by tampering with the unknown, by seeking to unlock God's secrets, by rushing in where angels fear to tread. I'll return in a moment or so for Act 3.
Morning. Greenhaven State Prison. Today, Jerry Rice is getting out. He paid for his mistake. We paid, too. About 10,000 tax dollars a year to keep him there. And unless he gets a job, he'll probably go back in.
Wait till your daddy sees you. He's not going to recognize you.
If you're someone with a job to give, you can do something about rising crime by giving a guy like Jerry Rice a job. He's been thoroughly screened, so you'll know all about him. You complain about rising crime and the billions of tax dollars used to fight it. Nothing can fight it better than jobs.
Welcome home, Daddy. Are you here forever?
Forever, honey.
The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
I think it was the first time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed and I shakily held onto the willows, and we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish, the biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life, and it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
How many of us unwittingly, thoughtlessly, unchain forces within ourselves, which in time, to our astonishment and horror, control us? How many happy relationships have been shattered by a single word that, once spoken, could not be recalled? How many? Now, in the living room of Professor Ken Robinson's home, it becomes all too clear that another powerful and deadly force has been released, an evil force bent on unholy destruction.
Junius, what kind of plans?
What?
You said, regardless of Ken's plans for the future, his other self has different plans.
And I have. Believe me, I have.
Junius, look! There! Leaning against the mantel, it's Ken!
Heaven protect us! His body stretched on the couch, and yet he stands there by the fireplace. That thing on the couch is nothing. My earthly abode, that's all. What you see here is the real me.
How is it I see you? I didn't see you before. How do I see you now?
If you had any brains, Mildred, you'd be able to figure that out for yourself.
You've grown stronger. Each time you've left that body on the couch, your strength has increased. The more power you possess, the clearer your astral image becomes.
Bravo! To the head of the class, Dr. Dutton.
What plans do you have? What are you going to do?
Enjoy myself, that's all. Give full rein, total and complete freedom to every desire, Professor Kenneth Robinson. The well-loved and respected Professor Robinson, try to restrain, to curb, to destroy.
Ken, listen to me. Return to your body, to the good influences, the restraint.
Straight jacket, not a body. Oh, but I'll return. Don't worry, I'll come back. But not until I've had my fun.
What kind of fun? What are you planning to do?
You'll find out. You'll find out.
Oh, Julius! Heaven help us. What can we do?
Nothing. And hope heaven does help us. And him.
I'm sleepy. Go away.
When I tell you.
Oh. Hey, what the devil are you? You.
That's right, Rosie. Kenny Ford, the happy plague has returned.
How'd you get in here? My door's double locked. Never mind, I don't care how you got in. Just get out.
Now, don't get all strung out, Rosie.
Don't get strung out after what you did to me last time. You damn near killed me.
If at first you don't succeed...
What?
Try again.
No.
I wouldn't do that, Rosie.
The police will take care of you.
They didn't the last time, and they won't...
Look, let me alone. I've never done you no harm.
I just want to play, Rosie. That's all.
No.
Just some fun and games, Rosie.
No! Jonas?
Hmm?
Are you sure Ken isn't dead?
He's alive. Very slow pulse, but a pulse. His respiration.
Oh.
Wait. I think he...
Is he coming too?
Ken. Ken, can you hear me?
Of course. I hear you, Junius.
Oh, Ken. Oh, Ken, dearest.
Mildred, what's this all about? All I do is take a nap, and you and Junius hovering over me like mother hens. What is this?
Ken, you didn't just take a nap. You collapsed.
Collapsed?
Yes, and fell into a kind of coma, I guess you'd call it.
Collapse? Coma? What in the world? Wait. My astral body.
Yeah, I'm afraid so, my boy. It suddenly took command of you, I suppose.
Oh, no.
We actually saw you in two places at once. Here on the couch and there by the fireplace, leaning against the mantel.
Good Lord.
You even talked to us.
Mildred, no. Maybe it's best he doesn't know what he said. I know. You remember what you said?
May God in his infinite mercy help me. I do. I do.
Oh, Ken!
Junius. She's dead. Rosie Smith is dead, and I killed her horribly, cruelly. I killed her.
Oh, no!
You didn't kill her. A part of you, the same evil in you that's in all of us, but not you. Not the man we know as Professor Kenneth Roberts.
I'd like to believe that, but no way. I recall all that happened. I understand all that happened, and I am at fault. 100%.
But how can you say...
Because of the evil thing I've let loose. I let loose and no one else. And this evil thing is me. Is a part of me. You may say, Junius, I didn't murder Rosie Smith. But I did.
Who are you phoning?
The police. Chief Langley.
Oh, wait, Ken, wait. Take a moment to think this.
There's nothing to be thought of. What's done is done. I'm a murderer. I must give myself up.
Chief Langley. Yeah. I see. Bad as that. No, don't touch anything until I get there. I just found Rosie, like you said they would, Professor. But I don't get it at all.
Don't get what?
Tell me something, Professor. This stuff you teach at Mallory, this, what's called para...
Parapsychology.
Yeah, well, someone like you, an expert in that field, would you, Well, it sounds nutty to me, but would you be able to know about things that were happening or had happened somewhere else? Like, I mean, if you were at home, could you, well, I don't know, put yourself in some kind of trance or something like that where you could, well, you know, tell that somebody was murdering or had murdered Rosie Smith?
Chief, I just told you, I murdered Rosie. That's why I'm here. That's why I told you everything I did, where your men would find her body and the condition of it. I murdered Rosie Smith.
Uh-uh.
What do you mean?
You couldn't have.
Why not?
Look, Professor. A couple days ago, Rosie accused you of trying to strangle her. You came in, we had a talk, and I let you go. But, Professor, I've had a tail on you ever since. plainclothesman around the clock, watching every move you made and noting, carefully noting, where you were and what you did every hour, every minute of the day.
I don't think I understand.
It is now 20 after 5 in the afternoon. According to the report I got, you were in your house from 1:15 this afternoon till you left it at 4:30 to come directly here. You can't be in two places at once, Professor.
But I can be.
What? How's that again?
I can be in two places at once. My body, this me, was in my home, all right. But another part of me, it's called the Atman. The other self, the astral body, can be and was in Rosie Smith's hospital room at the same time. I told you all this.
Yeah, you told me.
But you don't believe me.
Professor, if I believed you, if I even let myself begin to believe you, I'd commit myself to the nearest funny farm. And, Professor, I'd insist they throw away the key.
Langner won't believe me, Junius.
Ken, let me give you a drink.
I don't need a drink.
I think you do. Put you in a more rational state.
Rational.
As close to rational as we both can get. To begin with, Ken, you'll never be able to persuade Chief Langner or anyone else that you killed Rosie Smith.
But I did.
That's a question I'm not prepared to debate with you. But I think we ought to discuss, what are you going to do about bringing your astral self back to your earth body and keeping it there?
Junius, there's nothing I can do.
Nothing? Your drink.
Thanks. Nothing. And I see in your face, it's in your eyes, Junius. You know I can do nothing. That I'm helpless.
Well, I'd hoped I was wrong. You have more expertise in these matters, and I hoped you'd say...
No hope. I went too far. Junius, I...
What is it? What is it? Ken!
Again? Happened to him again?
Get him onto the sofa.
Just drop that. How can we call a body, Junius? Just throw it on the floor. That's all it's worth.
Ken, I'm holding your body, but you were over there.
Don't look and sound so shocked. You've seen this before. Enjoy seeing it while you can. Enjoy using your eyes while you can.
What are you saying?
For years I've put up with you, Dr. Dutton. You and your authoritative arrogance.
What?
No, we can't do this, my boy. Do that, my boy. Best for the college, my boy.
Ken!
Much as I regret it, I must demand your resignation, my boy. But you'll never ask for my resignation again, Dr. Dutton. Or for anyone's resignation.
Here. Wait. What are you doing?
My
throat! Let him go.
What?
Let him go. Before it's too late.
Rosie Smith, you're dead.
Of course. You killed me.
Then how can you be here?
You're forgetting, Professor. Forgetting that you're on the astral plane now. And me being dead, so am I.
And you think you can stop me from killing Dutton? Look, he's already unconscious. One more squeeze of my fingers around his throat.
And you will be condemned to a hell so frightful and so everlasting.
Condemned?
The evil we do, we pay for. And right now, you're on a real bummer of a trip. Better cool it.
You don't scare me.
Listen, Frost. That body you see on the floor. No, not Dr. Dutton's. Yours. You were born into it for just one reason. To suffer through what earthly beings
What are you doing on the floor? What am I doing here?
It happened again. And you tried to kill me, Ken.
Oh, no. I couldn't have. I could never. Oh, yes. Yes, it's coming back. I'm remembering. I tried to kill you the way I killed Rosie Smith.
Yes. Ken, this can't go on. Somehow you got to find a way to regain control of your astral self. There must be a way, Ken.
There is. I always knew it, but I'd forgotten it because... Well, Junius, I guess I'd forgotten God. There is one way. Always one way. When everything else fails.
What?
Prayer, Junius. Prayer.
Who tampered with God's laws was saved, thanks to God. I too have found... Oh, no, don't get me wrong. Nothing so horrendous as what happened to Ken Robinson has ever happened to me. But I have found, in my time, that, indeed, when all else fails, prayer very often succeeds. How about you? Well, try it sometime. I'll be back shortly.
A way of life, each one of us must find a way of life. A way of life that you can share. A way that shows you really care for little babes so soon to be born the same as you. Each precious moment that you give will give some child a chance to live. So join the march of dimes today and find a way of life.
Well, with Kenneth Robinson now, and so with Mildred, too. For years, Ken has stuck very closely to the much safer pursuits of ESP and precognition and all that. And oh, yes, they have two children now, which, it occurred to me, might be another form of astral projection. But then, what do I know? Our cast included Michael Tolan, Bryna Rayburn, Court Benson, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Draw the drapes while I light the candles. Now, step within the magic circle with me.
Yes. Oh, great Erechtho, mother of us all. Crouch in the black shadow of your wings.
I conjure thee, form the instrument. By Lucifer, prince of darkness. By all the stars which rule by the four elements. That we may obtain by thee the perfect issue of all our desires, which also we seek to perform without evil, without deception. We are answered.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
KOIN in Portland, it's 12 midnight.
CBS News. A contingent of about 800 American Marines has landed in Thailand in an apparent show of force following Cambodia's seizure of an American merchant ship on Monday. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Word of the Marines' arrival at Utapao Air Base came from the Thai Foreign Ministry. There is no confirmation from the American military in Bangkok. The Foreign Ministry again warned that the Marines' presence in Thailand would seriously strain relations with Washington if the Marines are to be used to force Cambodia to return the ship Mayaguez and its 40-man crew. Reuters News Service reports from Peking that American messages to China and to Cambodian envoys in Peking regarding the ship's release have been unsuccessful. But apparently the Ford administration is continuing diplomatic efforts, something that Democratic Senator Robert Byrd approves of.
We should continue to work through diplomatic channels to retrieve the ship, but we should not brook unnecessary delay. The United States government, in my judgment, should announce a deadline for the return of the ship, its men, and its cargo. And the Cambodian government should be informed of that deadline, and the world should be informed of that deadline. And if the deadline expires and the ship has not been returned, the United States should take whatever action is appropriate and necessary, including military action, to retrieve that ship and its men and its cargo.
Senator Byrd. More news coming up.
Hear ye, hear ye. Announcing the newest bicentennial weekend special with CBS News correspondent Charles Carrault.
Did you know there were a lot of bells called the Liberty Bell? The story of the one that survived is fascinating.
You'll hear it on Exploring America 1776, a journey through the side roads of the Revolution with CBS News correspondent Charles Carrault, May 24th and 25th on the CBS Radio Network.
It's athletes versus MS. Meet Muhammad Ali.
We're going to bounce it and trounce it. It's a mean disease. We're going to chill it and kill it and knock us to his knees. We're going to ground it and pound it. And that's not talk, because the man on the job is Jonah Salk.
We are engaged in basic research aimed at piecing together the puzzle of multiple sclerosis. And I believe its time has come.
I'm going to whoop MS. Now, and that's the latest. And I know you're going to help because you're the greatest.
An opposition leader to Philippine President Marcos broke a 40-day hunger strike today in Manila at the request of his family. 42-year-old Benigno Aquino had said that he would not eat until martial law was lifted. President Marcos imposed martial law in 1972, and Aquino was jailed soon afterward on charges of subversion and murder. Aquino began his hunger strike April 4th. A spokesman for Gulf Oil says the company has not received any information for the reason the Peruvian government expropriated all Gulf Oil operations yesterday. The military government said in a communique that Gulf had offended public morals. It estimated Gulf's assets in Peru at several million dollars, and it made no mention of compensation. President Ford has won a legislative victory in the House of Representatives, and Connie Chung tells us about it.
The House failed by 40 votes to override President Ford's veto of a one-year emergency farm bill, which would have increased price support levels of wheat, corn, cotton, and dairy products. The vote, 245 to 182. This was the first override veto attempt by the 94th Congress, the so-called veto-proof Congress. Afterwards, Agriculture Committee Chairman Thomas Foley accused the Ford administration of what he called one of the most extensive lobbying efforts he has ever seen. As he put it, frightening members into sustaining the veto. Foley stopped short of accusing the administration of deliberately misrepresenting the cost of the bill and the consumer impact. He said the measure would have cost $230 million. Foley said this piece of legislation was dead for 1975. The action signaled a victory for President Ford, who considered the bill inflationary. Connie Chung, CBS News on Capitol Hill.
Now this message.
Hun, would you please pass the potatoes?
Anyone Thanks. Want some more rolls? Bill, care for a couple more slices?
What's for dessert?
Dessert can wait. Finish what's on your plate. And don't forget your vegetables.
Boy, was that good.
You're not finished. What am I going to do with all this food? Who wants seconds?
Oh, golly, a typical American scene around a typical American dinner table. Yet, while these people are having their dinner just as they've done every night of their lives, there are millions of children starving. Just as they've done every night of their lives. Children in Honduras, in Bangladesh, in Vietnam. Save the Children wants to help these children and their families and their communities. But to help them, we need your help first to provide food for the children of the world. Send your contributions to Save the Children, Box 970, New York, 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, New York, 10017. Do it before your next meal. You'll find it very satisfying.
A New Jersey appeals court has ruled that minority job quotas to balance past discrimination are unconstitutional. The court says it is one thing for the state to help an individual who has been the victim of discrimination, but quite another thing to set up a quota system that the court says leads to insoluble problems and piles discrimination on top of discrimination. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
The FBI is investigating alleged tampering with the timber sale in the Ochoco National Forest. Forest Supervisor Glenn Hetzel says extra trees have been marked in an area where timber had been marked for sale. Congressman Al Ullman has asked for more than $27 million in federal funds for two projects in Oregon. The House Ways and Means Committee chairman is looking for $12.3 million to fund an experimental program to upgrade forest rangelands for better grazing use and conservation. He also asked Congress Tuesday for more than $15 million to construct a new Indian school in Salem. The House has passed on to the Senate a bill that would raise Oregon's corporate income tax rate to 7.5% by 1978. The increase will generate an additional $3.9 million in new revenues during the coming biennium. The House also sent back to committee, and probably to its death, a bill that would remove the mandatory planning authority given the Columbia Region Association of Governments in 1973. The House also approved legislation that asks the voters to approve a substantial revision of Oregon's Constitution. The Joint Ways and Means Committee Tuesday approved $5.9 million for the Department of Land Conservation and Development. The governor has on his desk now a bill that would merge the Fish and Wildlife Commissions into one 7-member commission. A supporter of the bill, Democratic Representative Bill Granoll of North Bend, says the combined commission could be Oregon's best chance to enhance both its sport and commercial fisheries. Multnomah County authorities have identified the body of that 6-foot-11-inch man found floating in the Willamette River last weekend. The state medical examiner says the man was Robert Presley, a former University of California and Denver Rockets basketball player. Those federal income tax rebates should be arriving in your mailbox soon, but don't plan on keeping all that money. Attorney General Lee Johnson says that for most Oregon taxpayers, the money will be taxable by the state in 1976. When Senator Bob Packwood heard about that situation, he said he felt like his home state had gone against the good intentions of Congress. The Ford administration and the timber industry isn't very happy with four Northwest congressmen who aren't backing, who are backing legislation that would ban federal log exports. The bill was introduced by Oregon's Congressman James Weaver and co-sponsored by three Washington congressmen. Administration spokesmen have called the bill excessive and stringent, while an industry spokesman said the legislation would disrupt the West's forest products companies. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area will be sunny today, becoming cloudy tonight and Thursday with a chance of showers Thursday. Lows 45 to 50, continued warm today with highs in the low 80s, cooling to the mid-60s Thursday. Westerly winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of measurable precipitation near zero today, increasing to 10% tonight, 40% Thursday. Right now at the airport, it's clear. The temperature is 64, relative humidity 58%. And the wind is from the southeast at 7 miles per hour, and the barometric pressure, 29.8 and rising. In downtown Portland, it's 68 degrees. That's KOIN News at 1209. This is Alan Archer.